Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this meeting of Rydale District Council's Planning Committee. We're not expecting a fire alarm tonight, so if it does sound, it is for real. Please leave the building by the rear doors or to the door to my right and congregate in the top car park. Ladies and gents, toilets are in the corridor along with water. Please can you ensure your mobile phones are switched off or on silent. We do have a number of speakers tonight. Each speaker will have 3 minutes and will come to the table in front. I will give you an audible warning when there are 30 seconds left. Do all members have a copy of the agenda papers? Lovely, thank you. We'll now move on to the agenda. Okay. Agenda item one, apologies for absence. Have we any apologies?
Apologies have been received from Councillor Cleary. Councillor Val-Arnold will substitute.
Thank you. Agenda item two, the minutes of a meeting held on the 7th of June 2017 on pages 3-8 of your agenda. I will move these minutes. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Mrs. Shields. I'll put the minutes to the vote. They're carried. Thank you. Agenda item three, I have no urgent business. Agenda item four, declarations of interest. Any declarations? Councillor Mrs.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, it's item seven. I own some property at the front of this, where this application site is, so I won't be commenting or I won't be voting.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Arnold.
Thank you, Chairman. I don't know if I do have to declare an interest of being a county councillor in two of the relevant areas on the agenda this evening. It's 15 and 14.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to agenda item five, which is the schedule of items to be determined by committee. And we'll move now to agenda item six, which is application number 16/01640/FUL application at Hydromotion Limited, 1A to 1B, 7th Street, Malton.
Thank you, Chairman. As members can see on the very brief update report, since the site visit, discussions have been ongoing on with the applicant who has responded, and the applicant has asked for a deferral of the application. The applicant has taken is taking design advice from another designer who's doing some feasibility work, not necessarily just on the extension that we're dealing with, but a whole approach to the business and the office accommodation and everything. That work's ongoing, and so deferral seems to be the most obvious way forward. We'll see where that takes us, Chairman, I think is really where we are at the moment. So I think we're all aiming to get to a solution, the applicant included, so we'll just watch this space, and obviously as soon as we get something, then we'll be dealing with it.
Okay, so do we need to vote?
Well, I suppose technically you need to vote to defer it, Chairman.
So I shall move from the Chair to defer the application. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Goodrich, thank you.
Not there too.
Let's move it to Erica then. That item's been deferred. So, agenda item 7, application number 17/00356/FUL, application at Masonic Hall, Bridge Street, Pickering.
Right, thank you, Chairman. Obviously, this was the second of the two sites that we site visited a fortnight ago. And in fact, item 8 is the sister listed building consent application. And I think that was quite a well attended site visit, so I shan't labour the point in presenting as I did last time to the membership, although Councillor Arnold wasn't with us. So, just for your benefit, Councillor Arnold, just quickly go through the photographs of the site. And the Masonic Hall is located to the rear of a line of existing buildings which front Bridge Street, and probably more visible from Park Street and the railway area in terms of public views of the site. That's the entrance. The arched doorway is the entrance in through the frontage buildings, and viewing from Park Street, that's the behind the wall to the railway, then that's the flank wall of the Masonic Hall. This is a view from adjacent to the rear of the building, and the rear extension, which is a simple up and over single storey structure, would be located to the rear of the existing building, and its apex height at the highest point would roughly come up to the height of the crossbar of the arched window. So in other words, the semicircular bit would still be visible above that. The roof follows a similar profile, similar form to the existing Masonic Hall. So the high point in relation to the adjacent property, taking account of ground levels, is approximately 6 metres higher than the adjacent ground level at its highest point. What we did get, for your benefit, which is on the late pages, is a dimensioned version of the drawing. So hopefully that just takes away any doubt as to the relative levels. You'll recall when we were on the site, we measured the existing floor levels from within the site to the top of the wall. The proposal actually does involve a slight reduction of internal ground levels, so it's about another 25 centimetres further down. The net height is obviously the same, but that's how the levels work. So this is the view looking back along the platform. So in the side, you can just see the side wall of the Masonic Hall with the ivy growing up the corner of it. And this is a view from the bridge, so again you can see the Masonic Hall with the two windows there set back behind the existing ones. And this is the view from the, I'll call it the lawn, but it's probably the Pickering Bank in front of the museum, where we're set back and looking squarer onto the side wall of the Masonic Hall. This is the view from within the curtilage of the adjacent property, and it was here where we measured the difference in levels, and the height of the wall varied because obviously the ground levels were slightly variable on that length. And again, this is a view looking exactly along the wall. And the key difference between the two schemes, as you'll have seen from the agenda report, the difference in the schemes is that the extension has been set away from the boundary. So at the nearest point to the building, it's about 1.8 metres back. At the furthest point, it's about 1.1 because of the boundary tapers slightly. Having said that, the extension is actually marginally higher than was previously proposed, and the report sets out the differences. This is very much within the site of the adjacent property, so again, you get a feel for the way the curtilage comes backwards beyond the frontage properties there onto Bridge Street. And we all stood there and looked at the site. This is a close-up of the boundary wall again. And again, the neighbouring site is set at a lower level. And just some close-ups for you there. This is a view looking back across. Back across to that wall. Nothing else really to add at this moment, Chairman. I think we've got two speakers as we had last time.
Speaker Mandy Walker.
Right. Has my time started yet? Right. The Masons are based on brotherly love, relief and truth, to serve God, family, country, neighbours and self. Over the last few years, the Mason membership has declined significantly. There is only one occasion each year when wives are invited, when space may be an issue. In this case, what is wrong with the Forest and Vale, where there is parking and every facility needed? It does not add up. Why put planning in when they have no money to do the job? One Mason, who Mum considers a friend, said to her they are asking each member to put in £60 to cover the cost of the application. Mum said to her friend that they would not be allowed to put scaffolding on her property. He said they would not need to. This is the only reason the new application that the building has been moved 1.8 metres to 1.1 metres from the boundary wall, as the extra space is required for scaffolding. He also said that Mum could buy the building now for £700,000. And unless someone dies and leaves us £500,000, the extension is never going to be built. I would like to be coming here forever, but that's not going to happen. And then went on to say, I thought you were going to move anyway. Someone is lying. It is either my mum's friend or the applicant. The first application was received by the council shortly after a certain local builder became a member of the Masons. The planning department personnel know who this builder is. Pre-application discussions with the conservation officer, Emma Woodland, revealed two issues she was concerned about. One was the removal of so much of the existing listed wall to create access to the proposed development. This has been reduced from 6 metres to 5.8 metres, less than 8 inches. The second was the need...
30 seconds left.
The second was the need for the extension to relate to the proportions of the existing building. This has resulted in the roof being raised another foot in the new application. It does not make sense. We feel that this application has been bent over backwards to appease the applicant with no thought given to the resident and guests of Bridge House. We would also like to point out there is only two exits from the building, one through the kitchen into the passage entrance and the existing back door, both ground level.
Thank you.
There is no fire escape.
You've had your 3 minutes.
We were also of the
Mrs.
opinion
Walker, you've
the
had your 3 minutes.
Meeting that the planning
sorry.
Officer was biased
sorry,
and unduly influenced.
Mrs. Walker, you've had your 3 minutes. I'm sorry. And our next speaker is James Johnson.
Thank you. I really don't know where all those facts have come from, because simply I've paid for all this myself. Now, I know none of these facts have been mentioned about Masonic Hall, but I don't think that's a planning matter anyway. They simply don't want the building to be built, and I appreciate that. But there always has been a building on that site, from the original manse to, in more recent times, a big wooden chalet that I remember helping to demolish. And now there's the little shed, the garden shed that's there. It seems to me the reasons seem to be it's the impact it will have on the garden seems to be the major problem, in that the garden runs north-south, and it's suggested that the building, because its size, will create shade in the garden. Well, I'm certain on certain days of the year it may well do that, but it would have to be a sunny day for it to do that. On a day like today, it would have absolutely no impact on the garden whatsoever. I've attended many garden parties there when Barbara Skidmore owned the property, and I know the garden was laid out to look to the west, because there is no view to the east because of the buildings and because of the falling site. So the garden was always planned to look towards Beck Isle. the size, we've tried to mitigate that. We've tried to move it across as far as we can. But at the end of the day, we need an extension that's functional as an extension to the dining room. And the reason we need the extension is simply to look after the building. It's a difficult building, yes, terrible access at the front, very little usage that can be put to it. But as a Masonic hall, it works for us, and we'd like it to work for people in the future. But we need to improve its viability to make sure that that building is there for future generations. And that's what we're seeking to do, to simply put that building up to achieve that end. Thank you.
Not really, Chairman. Obviously, the first speaker started to drift into sort of perhaps matters which are the subject of the second application, which is for the listed building consent approval, which is largely relating to the removal of a section of wall to give it access into the extension. This application is for planning permission, and so it's for those issues that you need to address with this application. And I would stress that, as members may well have picked up from the earlier report, but also again for the benefit of Councillor Arnold, that there was an earlier scheme for a different scheme, which was different dimension but nearer to the wall that we see in the foreground there. It received listed building consent but did not obtain planning permission because of the proximity to the boundary and that neighbourly impact we thought was... So we've got an unusual situation where there is already a listed building consent for a scheme but not a planning permission. That's led to the submission of this revised scheme for a fresh listed building consent but a planning permission which it is currently not had. So that's what we're dealing with on this current application. But I've nothing to add to the speaker's, Chairman.
Does any member have any questions to officers? Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I'm concerned about the entrance and exits. Could you elaborate on how are you going to get people out if there's a fire in that place?
We're drifting into areas of building regulations approval, Chairman. I mean, on this and any building of this nature will require a fire certificate. But equally, it is already a Masonic hall with that access arrangement. So no doubt that when the building control officers get this to deal with, they'll have those discussions with the fire officer. In essence, there is already an existing arrangement, though, that uses that entrance in and out of the site.
Yeah, but as a planning member, I wouldn't like to put my name to something where you're putting more people, making the building bigger.
You're replicating building regulations approval, Chairman, and that's not for this planning authority to deal with. Again, in a similar way to this is a planning application, not a listed building consent application, it's also not a building regulations application. So you could end up with a planning permission and a building regs and a listed building consent and not a building regs. Do you see? So you can't replicate other legislation through planning.
Any further questions? Okay, we shall go into debate and... As ward member, Councillor Miss Andrews.
Thank you. Do I stand? No. Okay, sorry. Yes, like I said at the previous meeting when we looked at this, this is an awful one to start with on my second planning meeting now. I've had a look through. I went to the site visit and... I couldn't see anything in planning terms that could warrant us refusing this, but I am open to members of the planning committee that have more experience to speak on this and see if there is anything that you can see. But as I say, I can't see anything in planning terms.
Councillor Mrs. Shields.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, I too went to the site inspection. I must say, again, I'm very glad that we did go and have a look at it, because until you see something exactly where it is in situ, then in fact it's quite difficult to make a mistake in finally deciding what we're going to do about it. I am quite concerned for the neighbours. We had a look at the hall and the rest of it, and we know the slight moving away in order to accommodate scaffolding and so on. But the neighbours down below, whose garden is down a few feet, I can't remember exactly how many, but a very attractive garden, which is going to actually be blocked from the sunlight. And although England is a pretty wet sort of country and miserable a lot of the time, we do get some sunshine, and quite a lot of sunshine was on that day. And one could imagine, with the height of the building, the new building going on, right up to just below the top of that window, a foot, is it, higher than it was originally proposed, I feel for the residents. I wouldn't like to own that piece of land. And the thing is, I gather they own also the end of the building where the masons want to have their extra building. It seems to me that if I lived there, I would certainly not want the shadow of this building filling in the gap behind my garden. It is a very attractive garden. It's been looked after, obviously. It's a very pleasant situation right beside the stream anyway. And frankly, if I were there, I wouldn't want it. And I've said before, if we get a difficult application, we do go and look at it. There was one in Moulton some weeks ago, months ago perhaps now, where you needed to see what it looked like from where the person who was worried about it, concerned about it, was speaking. And consequently, I don't feel I can support this. I don't know about the Masons, if they really need another building. That's their business to find the money if they want to do it. But the point is, I don't see that it's really going to enhance anything with the neighbours. And I feel very much for them, and I really don't feel that I'm going to support this. Because if I were living there, I would not want it either. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Councillor Mrs. Shields. Would anybody else like to speak on the application? Councillor Windruth.
Unfortunately, I didn't make the site visit. However, I've been through the plans. Like the local member said, planning terms, there isn't a lot we can turn it down on. Yes, it's going to have an impact, and I would have probably have liked the building turned round so the roof was the other way, because it would. But that's not what we're here to judge tonight. So I'm going to support this, and I'll move approval.
Right. Well, no other. Yes, you can, Councillor Andrews.
Councillor Shields has mentioned the sun and the blocking of. Is that a planning issue? Because
Chairman, clearly there are some things that aren't planning consideration, material planning consideration, such as loss of property value or loss of a view or whatever. But things relating to loss of daylight, loss of sunlight in particular, if you've got an orientation where there might be extra shadowing, those are material considerations, for example. Design is a consideration, so those are the sorts of planning issues. Inevitably, all development has an impact. It's a question of judging the scale and nature and extent of that impact, and whether, when there is an impact, it's sufficient to, having judged it, whether it's sufficient to warrant a refusal. Because in the absence of that, the applicant has a right to a planning permission. So there have to be significant issues that we identify that are sufficient to withhold a consent. And in this instance, clearly there will be some impact from the extension. Our judgment is that there won't be as much impact as the earlier scheme, which, albeit slightly lower at the apex point,
Excuse me, I'm sorry, but members of the public can't speak.
Please leave the room then if you can't be quiet. The situation is that the previous scheme was close to the boundary, and therefore its massing along the boundary potential daylighting and sunlighting issues is greater than the current scheme in our judgment. But there will still be an impact. Our judgment is that the impact is not sufficient to warrant refusal. And we always have to have a weather eye out to the fact that any decisions we make can be appealed. And that would then go before an inspector, or potentially go before an inspector, as the earlier refusal could have done. The advice to applicants, however, in the refusal situation is to seek to try and overcome the previous objections. I don't believe this scheme was designed with anything to do with scaffolding in mind. It was to deal with reducing the impact on the boundary with the neighbour who's objected. It's done that sufficiently in our officer view, but because of the objections, that's why it's before you now for a decision tonight.
Right, well, I've got a mover who's proposing to move the recommendation for approval. From the chair, I will second the officer recommendation to approve the application. And as I have no other motions, I will put that to the vote. Thank you. That application has been approved. We'll now move on to agenda item 8, which is application number 17/00357/LBC. Application for Masonic Hall, Bridge Street, Pickering, and this is the listed building application. Thank you.
Yes, Chairman, as I mentioned already, there is already a listed building consent for a similar but slightly different scheme that is referred to in the committee report. It does require a similar amount of removal of the back wall of the building to enter into the room that's created. Your conservation officer has no objection and is happy with the design of the scheme from a listed building point of view. So I've nothing else to add, Chairman. It's recommended for approval.
Did any members have any questions for the officer? We'll move straight into debate. Councillor Joy Andrews, do you have anything you'd like to add? No? Okay. Would you like to move the recommendation? Or?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I say that over the microphone.
Yeah.
Yes, I'd like to move the recommendation for this agenda item.
I'll second that from the chair, so I'll put that to the vote. That application has been approved. So we'll now move on to agenda item 9, which is application number 17/00400/MFUL, application at Landoff Flats Lane, Welburn.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. This is a major application by virtue of the floor area covered by the buildings, so that's essentially the reason it's before members for a decision tonight. We have had no adverse comments in relation to the application, but I thought it might be helpful to just show you a few photographs of the site location and some photographs of the adjacent buildings. So just to orient yourself, myself, there's a point. Oh, there it is. Thought put it somewhere. So the A170 is here, yeah, and Kirby in that direction, Norton Beedlam in this direction, and this is the turn to Welburn School, and this is probably the right angle bend that you'll know, T junction in effect, but right angle bend, and this is the road that goes off to Wombleton. So the buildings are on that corner. Surprisingly well screened from the main roads because of the topography of the land, but that's where we are. The first photograph is a view from Back Lane. This is the complex of the existing complex of buildings here. So you're heading up along this lane, school over this side, and the A170 is in the distance. This is a view from the A170 direction towards towards the site. The site's on the right here. Okay. And this is the from the main entrance to the site. See some quite attractive group of farm buildings. The proposed buildings would be going into this area here. It would involve the felling of that tree. And this is another view just panning across. And this is a view. These next two views are from Flats Lane, which are the views, which is the lane that goes off towards Wombleton. So, again, quite well screened, but in a gap in the hedgerow fence line there, you can see the profile of buildings, and the buildings would be located in this area here. I think that's it for photographs, Chairman. There's nothing else to add in the way of an update, other than to say that the group of buildings does what we ask of farmers, which is basically to group them together on existing complexes of buildings where possible to avoid the proliferation of buildings around the countryside. And although it's a significant development, Chairman, we recommend approval.
Are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Maybe I've missed it, but I can't see if we're going to impose any colour on the buildings. I would hate to drive along that beautiful road and see just steel, although, you know, I've asked these questions many times before, like things to blend in with the scenery. I just wondered if there was any way that we could stop a huge grey tin building being put there.
Chairman, they have specified some information on materials on the application forms, but if members wish to have the added wanting to see the samples, I mean, we could add a condition to that effect. I mean, we sometimes do. It's a judgment call. Could be quite conspicuous, I suppose, if we don't put a condition on and it's not quite, as they've said on the drawings, it's a harder pitch to get it put right. So if you wanted a materials condition for officers to then judge the precise colour of the fibre cement sheets and the boarding and things like that, because there'll be typical sorts of agricultural buildings, then that is a condition that could be added to the decision.
Councillor Mrs. Shields.
Thank you. What kind of tree is the one that they're proposing to cut down? And is it that very big one that we sort of just off the photo here? I was looking. Yeah. It looks a very good tree. I just wondered. Yes, I know. Yes. Yes, I've seen that. Yeah.
Yes. Sorry, they've gone to the extent of submitting a landscape plan, which we think is a net gain. Obviously, it's an investment for the future in that sense, because the trees will obviously be growing over a long period of time. But that's the suggestion on the drawing from the landscape design company.
Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Sorry, I'm just looking at page... Oh, gosh. I hate these machines. Page 39. And Yorkshire boarding is generally timber boarding. It's not a metal cladding to this building. But I just can't work out what it is up below the Yorkshire boarding, Gary. I'm really sorry. I think it looks like concrete. Yeah, it's a Yorkshire boarding, so it's spaced in between for ventilation.
Concrete panels. So the concrete panels would be low, but again, even they can be painted if we want them to be coloured a particular colour rather than a light colour. if we think there's a landscape impact. So, again, I mean, raising the point that Councillor Burr raised, if you think that needs further detail, then a condition is the best way of dealing with that.
Councillor Budrick.
Can I just come back quickly? If it's the timber Yorkshire boarding, then it should blend quite well into the landscape. The concrete, if it's grey, could probably do to be something like a dark green or an olive green. And the other thing that I'd like to see conditioned is the bit of view that you could see where there was no hedging. Perhaps they could just hedge that and belt and braces, and it, and otherwise it's fine.
Any further questions? No. And we haven't got a local member. Does Mrs. Arnold's going to take it as well?
Right, yeah, thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I know what the other councillors have mentioned, but as we can see that there is a landscape plan organised for later on, it is in a suitable, I think, a suitable place for this development to go ahead, and I recommend approval.
Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I have no wish to stop any farmer developing their business. There's no way that I'm wanting to do that, and I would support it with the condition on that we delegate that to the officers to look at, to ensure that the type and the colour of all materials used enhance the area and not detract.
Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Just to say, if we could get that piece of hedging done as well, I've got no problem with supporting the application. We should be supporting our agricultural economy. It's in the right place. It's close to the other farm buildings. It meets everything else. As Councillor Burr says, if we can just make sure that it's appropriate in the landscape, that would be really handy. Thank you.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded for the recommendation of approval delegated to officers with regards to the type and colour of all materials, and an additional condition with regards to additional hedging. I'll now put that to the vote. Somebody hasn't voted? That application has been approved. Agenda item 10, application number 17/00448/MREM, application at the Showfield Pasture Lane, Moulton.
Thank you, Chairman. Just a couple of updates and a correction on the report, as you'll have noticed, probably. The first point of an update is that the County Council Highways Authority are happy now with the plans. Their requirement was for a slight revision to the landscaping plans to make sure that any of the planting didn't impinge on the underground soakaway system, and that's now been resolved. We've also had confirmation, although we believe this to be the case, the drawings didn't show it, which was on the two plots which are adjacent to Pasture Lane, which are plots 124 and 125, that they are plots with chimneys of a similar design to those on the existing site frontage, which I'll show you in a moment in the photographs. The other point of clarity is just to draw a highlight to an error in the report, which is at the top of page 49. You'll see that the report contains a section about the implications for the overall housing mix. This scheme is essentially to vary the house type on 66 of the plots on the first 174 of the phase one. And that was previously comprised of 34 two-bedroom properties, including 8 bungalows, 59 three-bed dwellings of a variety of terrace, semi-detached and detached types, and then 81 four-bed units, as detailed on the bottom of page 48. On 49, we then proceeded to describe exactly the same mix, but actually the difference in the mix is that there are now, on this late as a result of this latest variation, there are 54 three-bedroom properties and 86 four-bed properties out of a total of 174 dwellings. In essence, we still have over half the units that are three-bed units or less. So from our point of view, we've got quite a good mix of house types on the scheme still. But it nevertheless, that is an implication of the change to the scheme. Not one that we think is a problem to us. In terms of the overall layout, you'll see that on page 50, the layout is essentially the same as we'd approved back in 2015 for the site. There is no increase in plot numbers on the site. It's basically been changed to pick up on some of the new house types that Linden Homes have now introduced into their portfolio of house types. So without rambling on any more, Chairman, I'll just show members some photographs of the site and the surrounding area. This is probably a view of the site that not many of you will have seen, but this is the view back down Outgang Lane, looking towards Pasture Lane. And in the right-hand side, this is not the application site, this is the nearest part of the Taylor Wimpey site. And this is the existing hedgerow adjacent to this unadopted, I'll call it a roadway, but I think my car bottomed out a few times, Chairman. But these buildings here will be removed as part of the development, so the development comes onto this part of the site on the northern side. And they're important because they're the ones that you can focus on when you're looking at it from Pasture Lane, looking back into the site from the adjacent highway. And this is a view that you probably a lot of you have seen from the top of Pasture Lane. So the traffic lights at the top of New Biggin and Broughton Road are behind you. Wentworth Street is just off here. And this is the raised footway which is looking down over the higher part of the Showfield. And you can see the existing site, the plots that aren't that are already built or being built, as shown on the layout plan, which are readily visible from Pasture Lane. Plots 124 and 125 are the two that are visible from this area, so they're the ones nearest to the highway. And in this area here, I'm standing by the curtilages of plots 124 and 125, and there's a pedestrian access into the site at this point. Again, at this point, you get a feel for the design and appearance of the buildings, which have got traditional eaves and verge details and chimney features. So that's what we're replicating on the plots 124, 125. That's just looking round towards the northern boundary of the site. And this is further down, so you get a feel for this quite large green area which is adjacent to the new roundabout next to Showfield Lane Industrial Estate. And this is a view looking back up. So the traffic lit junction is just round the corner up in this area here, and you get a feel for the elevated nature of the footways in comparison to the road. So actually you get a better view of the site from the footways than you do if you're travelling in the car. And this is the elevated view from that footway. I'm not sure if you can really see it, but that agricultural building I started out showing you is at the back of the site in this area here. So at the moment you could catch a glimpse of a house being built here, but obviously all the ones built to the foreground will then screen those. And this is the view from almost on the roundabout where I was just showing you at the far end of the site. So this is the earlier phase, and the new phase is actually behind all of these frontage buildings. You might just catch a glimpse through where this roadway enters the site of the odd plot, but other than that, that's the application, Chairman. It's on committee because, again, it's a major application. It relates to 66 plots, albeit a variation of what we've already agreed. But I'm happy to answer any questions, Chairman.
Are there any questions for officers, Councillor Goodrick?
Thank you, Chairman. Gary, I'm looking at the drawing, and plots 124 and 125 are very close to the public footpath. And there's a dotted line. Now, I can't work out what that dotted line's supposed to represent. Is it fencing? Is it landscaping? What are we going to get there? Because obviously, at the moment, the site's quite open. I don't really want to see a brick wall or a fence. It needs some landscaping. Sorry.
I'll just take you back. It's basically green before the wall. There's a wall on the back gardens, but it's open on the front. So if I just come back to, hopefully I've got a photograph here that shows it. You see that this is the wall here of the side of the rear garden of that plot, which is plot 145. That's the wall. That's the wall for the garden. But then there's a landscaped area in front of the wall.
Okay.
Yeah, this fence here is a bit difficult to read it, but it's basically a back fence, because what's happening is the site's on different levels, so they step up. So what you get in this area here, where if you back on the layout plan at plots 124, 125, the front elevations of the houses are onto an open area. Forget the dotted line there. I'm not quite sure what that's proposed to be showing. I think it's just the difference in levels. The wall is running parallel with the wall of the house. Can you see that? There's another dotted line. And so that wall is essentially a continuation of the wall that you're seeing there in the foreground. So the wall will run here, and it will be open in front of it, aside from the pedestrian link.
Councillor Miss Andrews.
Thank you. I had to look. I may have missed it, but and it might not be anything to do with the planning now because it was approved in 2015, I think. But is the affordable the same if they've changed?
The affordable don't relate to this site. It was one of the Moulton Town Council cluster sites. And the affordable, there was a viability with that which related to the Eden campsite and the livestock market situation. But the affordable offer is at the top of PZ. They effectively found another site. And in fact, I've got a meeting or a pre-application and a meeting being arranged for that site separate to this. Phase three of this was actually different. It does provide some on-site affordable, but the first two phases, I think the first two phases, is don't, not on the site anyway. So it's an off-site provision. What this site does provide, however, which I think is one of the first ones, which is already, they're already built on the phase, are eight single-storey properties. They're already built and on the site, which is a requirement of your new plan, which is 5% of your houses to be single-storey accessible property.
We shall now go into debate, and the local ward member, Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, first of all, I'd like to say I think that this is turning out to be a really pleasing development. The green space that this committee, or the previous committee, wanted to have, the roundabout, the location of the bungalows, to the right when you drive into the development is really very pleasing. The roundabout is particularly good on this site. I've got a thing about the roundabouts. They're not being too large, too small. I know I'm sad. Lorries that can't get round, etc. This is a really, really good example of a good roundabout. It's caused us no real problems in Moulton. Traffic flows nicely, and I've been on site many, many times, and Linden, the developers, do seem as though they are having a very professional way of building their houses. We always look in horror when we get amendments come in from developers, because we think, well, we gave you permission for that and we don't really want you to change, and our worst fear is that the numbers. So it's absolutely brilliant that the amendments don't change the numbers. So I'm really happy about that. And there is the school of thought that people don't want four beds, but the way that these houses are selling, They can't build them quickly enough, and people really, really like living there and want to live there. And whether we like it or not, I do think four beds are what growing families are wanting. Again, there was a school of thought, you know, why do people want four bedrooms? I think now everyone, if they can, they aspire to four bedrooms, whether we like it or not. So the amendments don't give me too much of a worry. I think that it is providing a mix of housing that people do want and will buy. Because they aren't trying to squeeze any more in or try and eke out absolutely every penny of the site, they've actually given us some nice landscaping, etc., particularly like that green space that we've got. I am happy to approve, so I'll move approval. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Bird. Does anybody else wish to speak? Yeah, well, I'll second the application from the Chair and put it to the vote. That application is approved. I'll move on to agenda item 11, application number 16/01965/FUL, application at Midsummer Cottage, Thornton Lane, High Marishes, pages 88 to 100 on your agenda.
Chairman, it may be as a result of this, I'm aware that we originally had two speakers registered to speak on this tonight, local councillor Janet Sanderson, who now won't be speaking, and also an objector, a Mr. Eldridge. However, members will have picked up from the committee report that this application has varied as we've been proceeding with dealing with the application, to the point that now all we have left is the formation of one vehicular access to the dwelling and associated buildings. The issue really, however, is largely around a matter of highway safety. And what we have received in the last 24 hours has been an exchange of email correspondence between, unfortunately, Mr. Boyne, who you all know from the previous site visit, and an officer who's given us advice on many applications over the years, is actually on leave at the moment. But as a result of the comments that had been received, another officer from the area office, Melanie Farnham, had spoken with Councillor Sanderson about her concerns on the access issue close to the bridge, which I'll show you in a moment, and had expressed some concerns about the speed of vehicles when approaching from the bridge towards the application site. Obviously, vehicles have slowed, but then they're speeding up again, and also from the Thornton direction, they're actually travelling quite fast and then slowing down. And whilst Mr. Boyne would have assessed the speed of vehicles during his visit, concerns have been expressed about the representative nature of the speed of vehicles over a longer period, to see whether or not it was just a snapshot in time and the vehicles were actually moving or are tending to be moving quicker than was seen. The gist of that all distills to the advice from the area office now is that we should be seeking to implement a speed survey of northbound traffic in the northbound direction for a period of a week in order to get a proper assessment of traffic speeds. I'll show you the photographs of the location of the access point, and some of you may, when you've seen the photographs, may recognise where it actually is. So if I just go on. So if you're approaching, well, Thornton Ladale's off up in this direction here. So if you're coming out of Thornton Ladale along Moulton Gate, you'd travel in this direction to the site. To Moulton, this would take you towards the A169 if you went far enough. And there's the point you're coming along Thornton Lane in this direction here. There is a really sharp bend there. And it is, and when I say sharp bend, it really is a sharp bend. And then just to add for good measure, there's a ditch or a stream goes under here and there's a bridge. And at that point there, you clear that and the site's here. So it's in really close proximity to that sort of set of circumstances. So approaching from Thornton Lane, as we've said to the application site, the group of buildings is located in this area here. The bridge, which barely looks like a bridge at this point, is here. The traffic warning sign, and some management has been done to give priority to approaching traffic from this direction. And if cars see another car coming in that direction, there's a sort of stop line here, which I'll show you in a moment. So this is the other side of that bridge. At which point you're approaching, as you'll have seen on the application plans, there is already a complex of buildings with two existing access, and this would be a third access here. The level of the field, which I'll show you at the moment, is slightly lower than that of the adjacent carriageway, just to add a little bit of fun to the mix, but you know, that's where we are. So looking at the southernmost access at the moment, the new access point is only here. It's quite close to it, and again you see the stop line and the bridge here. Now, this is of use looking along Thornton Lane towards the application site. But what I also wanted to try and show you, I'll see which is the best photograph of that, is, I don't know which one it is, right. Off at the corner of the this area here, there's a public right of way that goes this way. And there's a public right-of-way that goes along here, and it forms almost part of a circular route which goes down to Lowmarishes. So people walking along this area here to get to there also try and walk along the road at this point. So there is actually a pedestrian issue as well. All of that, I think, has led to the county thinking, well, actually, we do really need to know what the vehicle speeds are doing at this point to decide whether we've got adequate visibility. I think given that reaction, all I can recommend to you tonight is that the decision tonight should be to defer the application for that survey to take place. It is somewhat annoying that we've only received this advice as of yesterday, but you know, I think it's more important that we make the right decision than a quick one. And that's really all I need to report at the moment. I'm conscious that Mr. Eldridge, who's an objector to the scheme, has turned up to wanting to speak tonight and may still wish to speak, I don't know. But on the basis of that, I'll leave that with you, Chairman.
Mr. Eldridge, would you like to speak?
I think you've summed up everything I doubt, sir.
Okay. Lovely.
So I'm happy to wait for the violation.
Okay. Lovely. Thank you. Is there any questions to officers? No. Well, I'll move deferral from the Chair. And Mrs. Goodrick will second that. So we'll put that to the vote.
Chairman, that is likely to come back to members, but it will depend on how quickly that survey work can be done.
That application has been deferred. So we'll move on to agenda item 12, application number 17/00468/house, application at Hillside Cottage, Broughton Road, Malton.
Thank you, Chairman. This application is for a two-storey extension to the rear of Hillside Cottage. Hillside Cottage is this property here. It involves the demolition of the existing conservatory towards the rear of the property and its replacement with a two-storey double gable extension, which pretty much runs the full width of the property. There are some drawings on page 105 onwards which seek to identify the extent of the extension and also how far it projects in relation to both properties either side. In fact, page 106 shows the footprint of the extension, and you'll have noted from the officer report it has been amended to make it slightly smaller than was originally proposed. As you can see from the plan, the revised plan on the agenda papers, the extension projects to the rear of the property and projects to the rear of this existing house here, and not quite as far as the adjacent property in this area here. So as you can see, the two properties either side are relatively new, and they were ones which this committee granted permission to a few years back now, and I think was the subject of a site visit itself actually at the time. But they're now both built, and all three properties front onto Broughton Road, facing over towards the Taylor Wimpey site. I thought this view was quite helpful because you can see the rear wall of the property, the relatively modest existing conservatory, and the extension would project not quite as far as the rear wall of the adjacent property next door. I think the neighbours have registered to speak, so I'll let them comment on that in a few moments. This is the view looking back the other way. So, if you're back to the revised plan, you can see that the extension projects a little further than the rear wall of this property here, taken from that direction. The reason I showed this was it is the view looking back towards the rear boundary of the property. We did also get an objection from a property to the rear around about 45 metres away. That property is behind all of that planting and trees. And whilst we've received that objection, I honestly can't say, having visited the site, that I think there is an amenity issue either because of the planting or because of the sheer distances involved. So I think the issue really, Chairman, is in relation to the neighbours either side. I don't think there's anything else I need to add at the moment. I think we do have a speaker.
Mr. Graham Watson, if you'd like to come to the table and... you have 3 minutes. I'll give you an audible warning when you've got 30 seconds left. And if you'd like to press the middle button, your minutes will start once you're
okay. I'm speaking on behalf of Karen Whitfield and myself, Graham Watson, who live at Lime Kilns House, which is next door to the proposed development at Hillside Cottage. Firstly, we understand there's a need for them to extend Hillside Cottage. However, it's the scale of the proposed extension that's concerned us a bit. From the plans that we've seen, you can see that the extension extends virtually the full width of the rear of the property and is two storeys high across the width. We feel at that scale and size, it's out of proportion with our neighbouring properties, Limekilns House and Garth View, which have... part of the rear elevation at two storeys and not the whole width. Therefore, we believe the presence of that structure as proposed will be dominant and overbearing and have a negative effect on our amenity to a degree. Excuse me. If the proposed development had been more in keeping with the style of the two neighbours, the resulting extension we feel will be more proportionate and more acceptable. A suggestion that a part two-storey and part single-storey rear extension for Hillside was briefly suggested as an option by Mr. Parker, who's one of the applicants, when he first notified us of his intention to build an extension. So, yes, we understand they need an extension, but not really on the scale and the size to have a negative effect on the neighbours. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Page 105, there's a shadowing diagram, Gary, and I'm trying to get my head around understanding what this all means. It's not easy. Could I ask for some advice, please?
I think this was a drawing that was submitted at the outset with the original set of drawings, but what you have there is a shadow... as if there is a light source to the bottom of the page near where your 105 is, and what it's showing is shadow cast by existing structures, okay, as well as the implications of the proposed extension at that particular point in time. So if you can imagine, as the sun tracks around during the course of a day, if that exercise had been done at 9 o'clock in the morning, the shadow tracking would have been shadow tracking. So, for example, at Limekin's house, which has a, I'll call it a garage in the back garden, you'll see, which is the buff-coloured outline, you can see from that building that it's casting a shadow into its own garden and that one of the application site. If that same shadow drawing had been taken at 3 o'clock, it would be shadowing its own garden. So it's just a snapshot to give you a feel of what's happening. What it essentially means is that for this extension, in terms of sunlighting impact, it's not really having potentially any shadowing impact until the sun's tracked round into the afternoon and it's starting to shadow back that way for lime kilns. However, it would be in the morning or up to 12 o'clock, it would be affecting the other neighbour, which is the green neighbour. So it's the same in any built-up area. If you've got this orientation where the sun's tracking round, the shadowing impact as opposed to daylighting impact varies on the time of the day, and it also varies with the season. So if the sun's higher in the sky, you know, have less of an impact at the winter. It's actually, it can be worse, but for a shorter hour of the day. At the end of the day, as I mentioned earlier on today, all development has an impact. It's a question of whether that impact is sufficient to warrant a refusal. We're working in an increasingly deregulated area with regard to residential extensions, but most two-storey extensions require planning permission. This property actually did have permission for a two-storey extension at the time that the two new houses were built. They made an application for the two houses and an extension, but it was, although it was longer, it wasn't quite as close to the boundary as it was with Limekiln House. It was one single gable feature rather than two subordinate double gables. So that's the difference, Chairman. But the applicants have proposed this, and we're having to determine it. It is, I think the report says, compared with the original scheme, is around about, I think it was half a metre shorter than originally. Yeah, it's gone, projection rearwards has gone from just over 5 metres to 4.5 metres. So there's about half a metre gone.
Are there any other questions? Then we'll move into debate, and ward member is Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, as you're driving up the road, on street, it is really, really beautiful. The vision and everything, and they fit perfectly together, these three houses. And I think that when Hillside asked us for to look at this, and they sold off their land, and I think we actually did a very, very good job. And Limekiln House is built well and fits in perfectly. This committee is all for people, obviously, developing, extending. We've just realised people are aspiring to four-bed houses, etc., etc. However, we all live together and we all want to progress and we all want to do the best. But sometimes we struggle as a committee to think, well, is this too much or is this too little? Now, normally, if this would have been an extension that would have probably either mirrored Limekiln's house or Garthview, with that type of an extension, where so I'm looking at the page where the shadowing is, it would have been fine. It would have been absolutely fine for me. But as soon as I looked at it, and I flicked through it very quickly, and I didn't even know where it was, and I just whipped through it, and I thought, wow, that looks big. And when you look at it, it's double. It's actually double to what the other two houses are there. And I hear what Gary says all the time when we're at these committees, that we are under tremendous pressure from what we can or we can't approve. But I do think we do have to have consideration about neighbours and about how we live and how we interact with people. And too many times we've sat at this committee and people have fallen out because, you know, they don't get on, and it's so disappointing when I feel if that extension had mirrored both sides, then it would have just been a tick in a box to me, no matter where it is, etc. And that would have been happy days. We'd have moved on. But unfortunately, and I hear what Gary says, I do think we need to think about neighbours. And, you know, when you look at the pictures and when you think about that massive, massive building on at full length of the whole house, then for me, unfortunately, it is overbearing, and it is something that I'm not really prepared to sign up to. As I say, I'm sure that you guys will think, oh, well, you know, let it go. But surely sometimes we do have to think about, you know, our neighbours and just how far we're going to go. I mean, it is big. I'm not saying they don't need four bedrooms. I'd advocate that. But I'm just not happy with that design. So, sorry, that's not a design for me tonight.
Thank you, Councillor. Mrs. Shields.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I sympathise with what Linda has just said. We had an application not all that long ago. I'm sure you were with us, Madam Chairman, in Moulton, when the size of the application was a concern to all of us in the long run. Again, really, I would like to see this. I would like to see exactly how it's going to be built if we allow this to go straight through. I would like to see it in relation to the other houses. I know we've got the diagram here, but being on site does make a difference. And so, and if I dare, Madam Chairman, I would like to propose that we have a site inspection before we make a final decision on this particular application. Thank you.
Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm looking at this and I'm looking at the overall impact on everybody's property, and with the shadowing, I can't see how great an impact that's going to be. And whilst it might seem to be a bit big, really, I don't think that's the planning ground on which we can refuse it.
I think every, as I've said probably three times now tonight, every development has an impact, but you have to judge it and balance it in the context of where the development is, what it is. We're in about as urban a context as you've got in Rydale here. We're in Moulton. It isn't on all fours with the scheme at Middle Cave Road. This will not shadow somebody's lounge where they take their tea and coffee and read the paper. The side extension, as you see, for the most part, save for the first floor window, is a blank flank wall. It doesn't project as far as the neighbour. On that side, it projects further than the other neighbour, who obviously is happy with the scheme but hasn't written in. But you have to plan in the public interest at the end of the day. And I know members struggle with the neighbour amenity issues because you're getting down to a very personal level, but we have to make a technical planning decision here. I know what will happen to this if we refuse it. I know what will happen to this if we refuse it, and we're risking the service if we keep getting things refused, go to appeal, and we end up being a standards authority because more than 1% of these applications get overturned. You've got to pick your arguments and pick your corners. We haven't had an appeal yet on the other one at Middle Cave Road, but I think it's a matter of time. Personally, I think you've got enough information here to judge this tonight, whichever way you want to go with it.
Right, well, I have a site visit on the table, so I will put that site visit to the vote. That's been lost then. Okay, that site visit has been lost, so... thank you, members. I will therefore move from the chair the officer recommendation of approval. I feel that it is a good development. We've got some conditions on there for obscure glazed windows, and therefore I'll move the recommendation. And Mrs. Goodrick.
Second it, Chairman.
Thank you. And I'll put that to the vote. That application has been approved. We'll move on to agenda item 13, planning application number 17/00470/house, application at 14 Littledale Pickering.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The only update I have on this one is the response of the parish council, which is one of no objection. I've got some photographs quickly to show you, but I think the key thing for members on this report is that there was a planning permission granted in 2015 for a very similar scheme, and you have the detail of that, but for comparison purposes, on page 118. Which was the scheme granted permission in 2015. If you then go back a page, that's the scheme that's being applied for now, and it really is a case of spot the difference in the schemes. You'll notice on page 117 that the oddity here is that the properties in the street are actually set out, if you look at the block plan, almost in a staggered. There's a series of chicanes on Littledale, and the properties are staggered. So number 16, which is actually the property owned by the objector, is a two-storey property set forward then of two bungalows which are set behind it. And the extension is to the side and to the rear of number 16. So that's what the difference is. The front wall of the extension that you're looking at on this drawing is 30 centimetres nearer to the back of the house. The eaves and apex heights are no different. It's no nearer to the side boundary. In terms of the side elevation, the previous scheme had two high-level windows. This scheme now has one window being proposed for a bedroom, and that is proposed to be obscure glazed. The earlier scheme also proposed an increase in height of the boundary fence with the introduction of a trellis, and that's already in place. So I'll just show you those now. So this is panning across the back garden of the property. So this is looking squarely at the back walls of the two bungalows, so the extension's in this area here. And this is the house that's set forward of that. It's a bit difficult, but I'll show you the front views in a moment. This was the existing boundary fence, and the trellis is already in place, so that's affected some additional screening. And that's just a view of the side boundary. And looking in more detail, this is the view of the side boundary here. So the extension's going in this area here, and there's about a metre plus 1.2 metres to the side. So it's quite a narrow extension, but it only projects part way down the side wall, and it's still clear of the back of the property from which we've had the objection. So this is looking back the other way. This is the rear corner wall of the existing dwelling, and that's the side fencing. Coming back down the driveway, which is quite a long driveway, you keep coming forward and you can get a feel for the step back. So it's a really strange arrangement. But the extension's set way back here. And that's it, Chairman.
Any questions for the officer? No, so we'll move into debate, and the ward member is Councillor Miss Andrews.
Yeah, as I say, I'm not very experienced at this, but I couldn't see anything wrong with the planning application, other than she won't be able to use her garage. I couldn't see an issue with this at all. So, can I move it? Thank you.
Is any other member wishing to speak? No. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
I'd just like to say that the ward member said that eloquently. I'd like to second that.
Thank you. Well, we'll put that to the vote then, please. And that application has been approved. So we now move on to to agenda item 14, which is application number 14/00035/CU, land adjacent to Keldholm Motorcare, Keldholm.
Application site is located immediately, well, not immediately, but very close to the A170 at Keldholm. And at this time of the year, you think, can't see anything because there's a slip of land, hedgerows and planting. So as you're coming out of the Keldholm junction, looking in the direction of Kirby Moorside, as you move along, you catch a glimpse of the caravan. And as you move along and look back the other way, you get more of a view into the back of the site. Taking life and limb in my hands, did a hop, skip and a jump over the A170 at this point here. This is the lay-by just outside, so you probably orient yourself by that. At the moment, access into the site is being obtained by jumping over the curb and into the site at this point here. Traffic coming around that corner, I wouldn't like to say what the visibility is, but it's not hanging about. It's doing, I would say most of it is doing national speed limit or pushing its luck. You're outside of the 40 mile an hour deceleration zone at this point. In the site, this is the driveway off the lay-by, is a various sort of ramshackle arrangement of things, and behind that is the caravan, again you can see in this area here. At this time of the year, it is pretty well screened, but it's been there for a while. There was an application that you'll have seen off the agenda which was objected to, not just on policy grounds, but also on highway safety grounds. Our enforcement officers have been given a story of a moving and moving and moving for about the last 18 months, and nothing has happened yet. When I was carrying out the site visit yesterday to just have a look for myself, a car came out who was a friend of the occupier, who informed me he was leaving. Well, I did inform him that we've been told that for about the last 18 months, so we've got to a point where we need to take enforcement action. And it may be that, well, if the gentleman is leaving, then it resolves itself, but we need to protect the plan, and we also need, in the sense of highway safety, to stop this unauthorised use of the lay-by and turning at a point where visibility and traffic speeds are really quite high. So we're recommending enforcement action, Chairman.
Are there any questions for the officer? No. Local member wishing to speak? We've not. Councillor Mrs. Arnold?
Sorry, Chairman, I am for county, but not for Rydell. But I think it explains here on page 123, it's contrary to the all the SPs, PPPs, and also additional weighting on the carriageway, which is very fast along there. It's not in a regular speed limit along there. And also, there's been no appeal against the refusal and no other planning application in, which seems to be quite strange. Thank you. So, sorry, Chairman, thank you. So, yes, I will move that then. Thank you.
Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I'd like to second that. I think that whoever travels on that road knows that if they put the speed cameras on there, they would really do very, very well, because it is a very, very fast road. So the reason that I'm quite particularly keen on this is because of the safety aspect. You know, holidaymakers, car full of children along that road, you could just see it, you know, little car pulling out of that lay-by. It just doesn't work for me. But I think Gary has absolutely summed it up, that the guy or whoever it is, the girl, the guy, whatever, they are moving, they are going. So actually there won't be any problem because they are actually on their way. So I have no problem with that at all.
Thank you. Well, the enforcement has been moved and seconded, as the recommendation has been moved and seconded, so I'll put that to the vote. enforcement action has been approved. Agenda item 15, application number 16/00045/UD, application site Mount House Main Road, Norton.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Not really any updates on this one. Obviously, you'll have seen that this relates to erection of a two-storey extension to the side of a property, which were, despite requesting applications to in a regulatory fashion, we've had absolutely no response from the owner. And so we're in this position of bringing to you the current development for a decision. On the agenda papers, you'll see where the application is, where application site is in relation, again, to the main A170. So as you're approaching into the village, the road sort of winds its way towards the lay-by in front of the fish and chip shop, if you can picture where that is, and the turn towards Rydale School. And in doing so, on that side of the road, it passes Manor Farm on the left-hand side, which is the nearest property, separate property, which is a listed building. I've got some more photos. Well, you've got a photograph of the frontage of the site, just very much concentrating on the property, the extension, and also two adjacent neighbouring cottages. As you can see, the principal issue relates to not necessarily the design of the extension, which is in keeping its subordinate slate roof and slash windows, but the use of timber boarding as a walling detail. So that's the main thing that really has come out as an issue for us to consider. I've got are some more context photos just to show you the street scene for those of you not necessarily familiar with the location. So this is a view from the opposite side of the A140, and if you've got the photograph on the agenda papers in front of you, this is a view of the adjacent two cottages. So these are quite small cottages here, look very similar in appearance to the house itself in terms of appearance, and actually they're actually on a slight angle to each other. They're not, it's not a straight frontage, and at this point here, from this point of the road, that is my sort of car parked here, the extension, the timber bit of the extension sort of pokes its head out just a little bit because it's set back from the front wall. And what you have here then is the driveway into the property, and it's the boundary of the adjacent farm house and farm yard, I'll call it, which is planted and shrubbed, which effectively acts as a screen when you're looking back from the opposite direction. So again, just panning around a little bit, you just see the profile of the adjacent listed building as the road's increasing in level and bending away. At this point, you've got the entrance to the name of the road now, opposite East View, and there's some more modern properties on the opposite side of the road. So this is from the entrance into East View, so you're looking back almost at the agenda picture at that point there, so you get a feel for the high stone wall set at a slightly lower level and behind this screening. Taken from the opposite side of the road now, this is the adjacent listed farmhouse and attached buildings. That's the screening. As you can see, you just get a glimpse of the roof at that point. And this is panning round, so this is the farm. Not quite sure what the status of the farm is at the moment. There's a huge piece of rock in the driveway, so I don't think anybody's driving in and out of there at the moment. These are presumably the farm buildings that belong to the farm. It's a sort of useful photograph because you get more of an idea of the separation between the listed building and the extension in question. So that's it, Chairman. It's really about that view. And we're recommending that no further action be taken.
Are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Windrus.
So what happens if we take no action then? Has it granted planning permission, even though he hasn't put in for any whatsoever? Right. And what about building regs and building control?
Separate process. Building regs had been alerted to the proposal. As far as I'm aware, there is no breach of the building regs that's been caused by this. Sometimes there can be an issue with timber structures in proximity to a boundary in terms of a regulation, but very often that will be in terms of things like spraying the timber to fire resist. You know, you get this sort of chemical sprays that actually go onto them. Perversely, the building regulations is more about whether that would set on fire as a result of a fire on the adjacent site rather than the other way around. But very often we'll find people say, for example, we'll build a timber garage within a metre of a boundary, very close to a boundary, but satisfy the building regs because they will treat the timber with a chemical treatment at a given coverage to effectively act as a fire-resistant retardant.
Councillor Miss Andrews.
Firstly, do we get this very often, Planning Committee?
We get quite a lot of retrospective applications because the nature of planning is that sometimes people either deliberately or unwittingly do something that needs planning permission. We get a complaint and then the work of the officers will generate that application, and more often than not, if we've had a complaint, when we get the application, that person still complains and so it comes to committee. Equally, we get work in that comes in via that process that's dealt with under the delegated route. It is rare that we get somebody who we contact who I think knowingly knows what they're doing. And this one, a few members can recall the two dwellings at the corner plot at Forkers Lane in Setrington. They were like a timber kit. This was a timber kit, and it was up pretty quick, the timber kit. And actually, if you do a Google Street View, you might find it, a picture of it, with the stone and just this sort of weatherboarded kit, but without the boarding, the external boarding on it. So it was up very quickly, but it is unusual.
Well, that sort of made a couple more questions. Were they given the opportunity to apply for retrospective planning but chose to ignore that as well? So there's been no cost to them as such for applying for planning permission. Right, okay. Do you feel this would send out a message? I mean, I like it, but...
The dilemma is that we have a role as a planning committee to determine things on their planning merits, and I can assure you that it's galling to all concerned that when a complaint's received and we go through the mechanisms of dealing with that complaint, which sometimes range from take it away, you'll never get planning permission, to getting applications, and sometimes it will be in between and people aren't sure what the outcome would be. And whether that has been what's put this person off, I honestly don't know, because they've just refused to communicate with us. And so that leaves us in a situation as an authority where we have to make a planning decision. And that planning decision can't be a punishment. It has to be whether what we're dealing with is acceptable in planning terms. Personally, I would have, design-wise, I think that's absolutely wonderful. Would I have chosen to do it in a timber clad? Probably no, not on the front. I might have put a stone fronting on it from a personal choice, a preference. But that isn't what we're dealing with. What we have to decide is whether all that in itself is bad enough to refuse. And if you think that, then we serve an enforcement notice. But we have to be prepared to take that enforcement notice to an appeal, because if we serve an enforcement notice, there will be an appeal, and they would then argue before an inspector that actually, well, we don't think there's anything wrong with that, and an inspector will come from somewhere else and make a planning decision, however galling that might be to us. And equally, you know, we've got this perception of, well, Rydell's an easy touch. Well, I think Rydell's history on enforcement is such that if you asked Mrs. Banks at Sheriff Hutton whether Rydell's an easy touch, I think they'd have a different view. But at the end of it all, we have to make a planning decision.
Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Councillor Burr's already chuckling. If this was an application before us tonight for an extension with timber cladding in a predominantly stone-built area, and if you look at the building, the farm to the right is stone-built, listed building. The building to the right of those cottages is stone building. Would we have accepted a dark brown timber cladding? And my suggestion is, no, we wouldn't.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, I think the fact that they've used a black cladding actually recesses it in visual terms. If they'd used a cladding and gone for very often, you know, you see those barns that have got a yellow stone and a sort of O'Donnell sort of timber painted cladding, it actually draws attention to the cladding. And when I worked for the Broads Authority, the way that they used to recess buildings in the landscape was paint them black, because it recesses, it doesn't attract your eye. And so in a street scene context, I think that's actually quite unobtrusive. And when you look at the, unless you're standing here, you're not actually standing square onto it. The views are oblique, the levels work in its favour in terms of street scene. It's a very difficult one to say in itself it's unacceptable, I think. I mean, there are two approaches to extensions that could very often work. One is mimicry of what's there already and going for, if you've got the stone property, the clay pantiles and whatever. But I recall us taking on an appeal in Helmsley on, what's the name of the road that goes down to the bridge? Reigate, where there was a modern extension with zinc and various bits and pieces that was on. Not on all fours, this, but we refused it. It got allowed on appeal because it was a very modern approach to extending a traditional building. It was unashamedly the extension. This was the original building. And in a way, that shows you what's the original building and what's the extension. I wouldn't like to predict an inspector coming from wherever and saying that they think that material is in itself not acceptable, because yes, there is a predominance of stone and slate and pantile, but I'm sure we can walk around Norton Beedlam and see examples of timber and brick and other materials on an ad hoc basis, and that's how we'd have to judge it. It does annoy me, but we have.
Councillor Mrs. Arnold.
Thank you, Chairman. I hear what everybody's said here in the meeting. I completely and utterly agree with what Councillor Goodrick said, that if that came up, I feel sure that the extension itself, as you say, flows along, but I feel sure that if it had been a planning application for the timber, I feel it would be in we perhaps would have granted permission in stone rather than the actual timber. But I do see what
questions.
Boobs, sorry.
Are there any more questions for the officer? And if not, we will go in. Sorry.
The only point of information, the question was, is there any other enforcement path other than take it away? And I don't think there is, because on what I think it is, it's a kit. So it's not easily one way you could just take the boards off and face it with stone, because it is what it is. So I think you're looking at demolition. It's not a reclad the front with this, and so that the solution is a total one, I think.
Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
I just wanted to establish we've had no application to put that up at all. No pre-application advice or anything. Nothing.
In itself is not a consideration for you. I know you might, you know. And the report has set out what we've tried to do in the way of receiving the complaint and writing again. At the end of the day, we can't force somebody to do something. Actually, they've not committed a crime. They've not committed a crime until you serve an enforcement notice and that it's taken effect and they've not done anything about it. That's the only point at which a crime has taken place. I suspect this person knows exactly what he's doing. I don't know him because I've never spoken to him and he's never contacted us. But you still have to judge that, and that's what's and that's what you've got to think about.
Councillor Maud.
Thank you, Chairman. I like the look of this. I prefer it to that.
Is this a question?
No, I'm debating it.
Well, we're still in questions.
What were the questions? Can you possibly ask? You know.
Well, that's fine. But I'm going to go to the local issue. Look, right. Yeah. Go on, Councillor.
Just if we do take enforcement action, at least then you would have to put in planning permission. Or am I wrong with that?
Happen is when we serve an enforcement notice, there are any number of grounds of appeal, and one of the ground A is planning permission ought to be granted, so that would be they'd almost certainly appeal that ground. They could try and be clever and say there is no breach of planning control. Well, I'd like to see that one go, but you know, there are any number of appeals on that there is no breach, or that the steps are excessive, or that the period for compliance is too short. There are any number of grounds. The obvious ground here would be ground A, that is, this should be granted planning permission. That's. I mean, if I was in receipt of that notice, that's the first one I'd take.
Okay, we shall now go into debate, and I'll go to Councillor Windrus as the nearest member.
Thank you. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't agree with the report on this one. I would like to call it an extension. It's like a two-storey garden shed, in my view. It's possibly in the oldest part of the village. It's next door to a Grade 2 listed building. The parish council have discussed this, and we were told we were going to get retrospective, which has never happened. I think we're setting a precedent if we let it go, to be quite honest. So I'm not happy with this, and I'm going to refuse the recommendation. I'd rather we take enforcement action.
Thank you, Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. So, first of all, we're very annoyed, we're very dissatisfied, we don't think it should have happened, we're really cross and we're really peeved. That's life, that happens. I thought, Councillor Goodrick, you were going to say, oh no, here we go again. Would we have approved it? Is it retrospective? But it's a slightly different one because it's got nothing. It's actually got nothing. So it's quite new to us. We've never actually come across this before. So, Councillor Andrews, you're new to it. So are we. We've never really dealt with this before. I always try to be pragmatic when I make my decisions. And I'm annoyed. I'm cross. Yes, I am. But I think there's quite a split decision in this. There's a division of opinion. Because, actually, if this did come to me, I actually could approve it. For all the quirkiness and for all the unusual aspects of it, I'm not happy about how it's happened. But I do actually like it, and I actually look at it every time I go down that lane and pull off. I do actually look at it because there's something that I don't know why. There's something that makes me look at it. I'm not adverse to the black, and yeah, maybe it would be nice in stone, but I'm not too worried about that. So what we've got to do is we've got to say, well, we are cross, and I can absolutely understand Councillor Windrus, you know, saying what he said, and I understand it and I respect his decision. But, unfortunately, if that had have come to me at planning, I probably would have voted for it. So that is why I'm not going to support you on this one, Councillor Windrus, because I think that if an inspector came from London, he would absolutely say go for it because, you know, that's absolutely okay. But I personally, I'm not from London, I live here, and I think it's okay. Now, I might be the only one on this committee that thinks it's okay. So this, you know, we'll see. It'll be out when we vote. But I personally think Gary has made a decision. He's cross, he said he's cross, and it's not something that we want to send out to the public, because this is not what we're about. But we are where we are, and I personally would like to support officer recommendation on this one.
Thank you. Councillor Maud.
Thank you very much. As I started to say before, I like this, and I think it was a house in Rillington had a two-storey wooden extension at the end, and I think it was even built before I was born. It's no longer there, but it lived. It was there for a long time. It was removed to make access to a building site behind, but it was certainly wasn't as nice as this. It had a single pitch roof away from the main building, and it was zinc, you know, on the roof, so it was horrible. But it was part of somebody's home, and it was accepted, and no one ever, you know, it was just, you're brought up with it. But this is, I think, it's really quite beautiful, and much more pleasing to the eye than the large extension we've given approval to up Broughton Road. So I'm going to support the officer recommendation that no action be taken. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Councillor Miss Andrews.
Thank you. It's quite bizarre, really. I drove my children for 8 years to Rydell School and back from Pickering, and I saw both these sites regularly, and I thought, Rydell District Council are letting things slip, letting the caravan go into a field off the A170, and then I saw this and I thought, wow, Rydell District Council are really going for it, what a fantastic thing they've approved in Norton Bedlam. And little did I know neither of them had planning permission, but now I'm on the planning committee, anything I see on the roadside now I'll be able to grasp them up to Gary. I think this is an absolutely fantastic, I'd go one better than I like it sort of, or I love it. I think it's an absolutely fantastic extension. I think it's brilliant. Yes, it's completely different to the building, but I think it's I think it lends itself to the village, in fact. I'm really angry that they didn't put planning permission in, and then retrospective planning permission. But I would hate to see it have to be forcibly taken down, because this is somebody's home. I think we should send a letter saying shame on you when everybody else goes through the process. I don't think it's necessarily sending the right signals out, but I think the majority of people are decent and will apply for planning permission for what they want. But if it had come to planning permission, I'd have happily stamped yes on the thing. So that's my opinion.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Ooh, this is so subjective. I've got to say, in principle, I have no objection to the extension of the property. Don't think the size of the extension is out of keeping with the property. And I have to say that we build in timber, and we've built timber lodges, and I have got no problem building in timber. But that, as far as I'm concerned, is very subjective, and I don't think it's right. I don't like the dark colour. I know what you're saying about it pushing it back, but when you look at the other buildings around, and you've a listed building next door, it should have been stone built, and I'm really sorry, but I'm really sorry, Gary, I can't support it.
I just at this point, I know members are in debate, but I know Councillor Windrush did ask this question because this report was produced by our interim enforcement officer, Andrew Cowley, who's a very experienced enforcement officer, which was then looked at again by planners dealing with this, but also the council's conservation officer, who has been consulted on the setting of the listed building issues and has no concerns with the setting of the listed building issues. So Yes, there is a listed building next door, but because of the context of it and the screening of it and the levels and the configuration of the road, she has no objection to this. So I think we need to stay clear of the listed building issue and just concentrate on essentially what material it's built out of. And we're getting into almost what I'm hearing is I would have preferred to see it built out of stone rather than timber, or not, as the case may be. And once you get
right, I have a recommendation from Councillor Windrush for enforcement action, but I haven't had a seconder for that. So, but I have had a mover and seconder for the officer recommendation, which is to take no further action. So I shall put that to the vote. So the recommendation has been agreed. Right, agenda item 16, any other business? I have no other business. Agenda item 17, list of applications determined under delegated powers. I hope you've all had a read through those. I do. Thank you. We have no appeals to update you on.
No, Chairman. I think that a lot of appeals have been held up as a result of the election and political concerns, but I suspect we'll get a deluge shortly.
Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Could I just ask a question, please?
You may.
I'm becoming very worried, concerned, frustrated that our plan seems to be slipping back and back, and I'm just wondering if we've got any information, if we can ask Gary, as to when we might be getting some information as to when it's going to come to us, please.
You're talking about the site allocations. I had a conversation with Jill Thompson this afternoon, and the hold up has been with the highways and the Vivers Place Vivers Lane, road alignment in Pickering. That is now working through the process. Jill is also currently updating the document on the number of houses that have been built and approved. She is working towards having a members' briefing in July, with the document coming to members in September.
Thank you, because obviously you've got to quicker than me, because I've emailed her. But so is that coming to members to be signed off in September?
I'm believing that is the intention, yes.
Because we don't want it to slip back and back and back.
Indeed, rest assured.
It's critical to us on the planning committee that we do have that document. It helps us. So that would be really, really good.
Yeah. Councillor Burt, I think actually the issue was around County Council requiring further modelling of Vivis Lane, which has been done and is now with County. But those are the sort of broad deadlines that we're working to, based on the advice of the County Council's Development Control Office.
Thank you. And is it coming to us and then to full council?
No, straight to council.
Straight to full council.
Straight to council.
In September.
Straight to council.
Thanks for that update. Thank you.
I'll now close the meeting.
Thank you.